Well, hello everybody. Again, we're meeting in this funny way. But I want to say to you all at the beginning of what I've got to say, thank you so much. I'm just so appreciative of all of the cards and letters and flowers and all kinds of different contact that I've had just to follow up how Eddie and I are doing at this time, and I so appreciate it and just thank you so much. I hope I've gotten back to everybody that phoned or whatever. I've done my best, but if I've forgotten you, I'm sorry, but thank you so much for all of that. I'm going to speak today on finding hope in disappointment. And the sermon will reflect some of the things that God has been showing me over the last 6 months. This for Eddie and I has obviously been a very difficult time. It's been a time of disappointment, yes, but also a time of hope, a time of experiencing the amazing love and power of God. I want to read from Psalm 39 and verse 1, and it says this. I said to myself, I will watch what I do and not sin in what I say. I will hold my tongue when the ungodly are around me. But as I stood there in silence, not even speaking of good things, the turmoil within me grew worse. The more I thought about it, the hotter I got, igniting words of fire. Lord, remind me how brief my time on earth will be. Remind me that my days are numbered, how fleeting my life is. You have made my life no longer than the width of my hand. My entire lifetime is just a moment to you. At best, each of us is but a breath. We are merely moving shadows, and all our busy rushing ends in nothing. We heap up wealth, not knowing who will spend it. And so, Lord, where do I put my hope? My only hope is in you. And this psalm reflects David's discouragement and his disappointment in his situation. So first of all, I want to look at what is disappointment. And the dictionary says this, sadness because something has not happened or being as good or successful as you hoped or expected. Or sadness or displeasure caused by the non-fulfillment of one's hopes or expectations. I want to say to you today, I have a promise from the Lord for you. In life, you will have disappointment. That is a promise. Jesus experienced disappointment. In Gethsemane, in Matthew 26, it says this, then Jesus went with them to the olive grove called Gethsemane, and he said, sit here while I go over there to pray. He took Peter and Zebedee's two sons, James and John, and he became anguished and distressed. And he told them, my soul is crushed with grief to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. He went on a little farther and bowed with his face to the ground, praying, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup of suffering be taken away from me. Yet I want your will to be done and not mine. And so in the Garden of Gethsemane, you can hear the disappointment in Jesus' voice as he says to Peter, could you not watch with me just 1 hour? He's going through some of the darkest periods of his life on earth, and he was disappointed. And in Luke 22, we read about Peter's denial. He's already denied the Lord, and about an hour later, someone else insisted, this must be one of them, because he's a Galilean too. But Peter said, man, I don't know what you're talking about. And immediately, while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. At that moment, the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Suddenly, the Lord's words flashed through Peter's mind. Before the rooster crows tomorrow morning, you will deny three times that you even know me. And Peter left the courtyard, weeping bitterly. Imagine as Jesus looks at Peter when he's being denied, the disappointment in his heart. And then in Mark 14, it tells us, then all his disciples deserted him and ran away. All his disciples deserted him and ran away. And so disappointment was something that was part of Jesus' life. And it's going to be part of our lives because it's life. It's life. And how we deal with it is so important in life. So what causes disappointment? Well, I just believe first, unrealistic expectations where people are concerned. We expect much more of others than we do of ourselves. And I believe in the first months of any relationship, whether it be marriage, whether it be colleagues and building up friendships, there's a levelling out of our unrealistic expectations of one another. You know, you find hope in disappointment with others when you change. We can all be disappointed with one another because in some way or another we've let one another down, and yet sometimes we don't even know what we've done. But if we're going to find hope in that disappointment, we're going to have to change. Not when we try to change others. That just brings more disappointment. But when you begin to see others through the eyes of love, that you look at them the way Jesus looks at them, you look with hope and you see potential. It says in 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 4, love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It doesn't demand its own way. It's not irritable and it keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up. It never loses faith. It's always hopeful and endures through every circumstance. What about disappointment caused by unrealistic expectations where circumstances are concerned? See, David in Psalm 39 that we read at the beginning was looking at his situation, and he was discouraged and he was disappointed because things weren't turning out as he expected. Job was a man who had everything. Then suddenly he had nothing. He didn't even have his health. And Job 2:8 says this, Job scraped his skin with a piece of broken pottery as he sat among the ashes. His wife said to him, are you still trying to maintain your integrity? Curse God and die. But Job replied, you talk like a foolish woman. Should we accept only good things from the hand of God and never anything bad? So in all this, Job said nothing wrong. Nothing wrong. His wife had unrealistic expectations that everything would always be good. But Job knew the Lord. His hope wasn't in his circumstances. It was in the Lord himself. He had hope in God and in God's ability to bring him through. I love the verse in Job 23:10 where it says, he knows the way that I take. When he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. His hope was a sure and it was a confident hope. What happened through his time of extremely difficult circumstances? Everything was lost to him, his family, his home, his wealth, his health, everything. But at the end of Job, it says these words in Job 42, then Job replied to the Lord I know that you can do anything and no one can stop you. You asked, who is this that questions my wisdom with such ignorance? It is I. And I was talking about things I knew nothing about, things far too wonderful for me. You said, listen, and I will speak. I have some questions for you, and you must answer them. I had only heard about you before, but now I have seen you with my own eyes. I take back everything I said, and I sit in dust and ashes to show my repentance. You see, Job, in his situation, changed. He had questioned God. He had questioned what was going on in his life. And with all of the stuff that had happened, who wouldn't question? How many of us have been through difficult times and we've questioned God, saying, where are you, Lord? Where are you in this situation I'm going through? But the thing about Job was, he had an openness to God. He wanted to hear from God. And it was Job who changed in his situation. You see, the potential for God to move in disappointment is amazing. I had unrealistic expectations. When Eddie was diagnosed with Alzheimer's 10 and a half years ago, I felt that it wouldn't affect him to its fullest extent. I had this thought in my mind that he'd only lose 20 or 25% capacity. And you know, for 7 years, that seemed to be the case. Then slowly but surely, things began to go down. My expectations were unrealistic. Alzheimer's is a progressive illness and it's a killer. When lockdown came, things took a turn for the worse. The progression speeded up, double incontinence hit, and the demands in the evening and through the night were wearying. My desire had always been to see Eddie through this illness right to the end. So I'd cry out to God in the middle of the night to give me the strength to cope and to allow Eddie to sleep so that I could have some rest. But he didn't seem to be answering, and I wondered why. Often in the evenings in particular, when we were sat in the house, Eddie would say to me, when are we going home? He would ask it all of the time, and I'd say, Eddie, we've lived here 44 years. This is our home. And he'd say, but when are we going home? And it would be a constant question. And another one that was less frequent was, where's Myra? I'd say, Eddie, I'm your wife. I'm Myra. I'm sat right here. And he'd go, as if I was kidding him on. And he wasn't sure. And you know, we can be like that in our disappointment. We don't see that God is there, right with us, working on our behalf in every situation. And when I opened my eyes, I could see that those difficult times in the night, which God allowed me to go through, were to show me that I couldn't do what I had planned. I had to let that go. God's plan was different to mine, and I needed to change my thinking. Have I seen hope in my disappointment? I don't have time to tell you just how amazing God has been in bringing about his purpose in our situation. I can tell you that in all of it, at all times, Eddie has been content. Right from his diagnosis, right in the beginning, where I know I've told you before, when he was faced with the diagnosis, he said, Myra, I'm 72 years old. I've had hardly anything wrong with me all my life. How many people can say that? And right up to this present time, he's just taken life as it comes. and he's enjoyed it. He's never questioned what's going on. And when he moved into his new home, he settled immediately and he made an impression straight away, which blessed my heart. The staff, as I was meeting them at our visits, were coming out with the same thing, different staff. What a lovely gentleman he is. And one of the staff said, I wish I'd known him before Alzheimer's. They called him Steady Eddie because he wasn't up and down by the minutes. They knew exactly what he was going to be like. And they didn't know we called him that for years, because that was the way he was, taking life as each day came. What an example he has been to me over the years. And that's the hope of God in our situation. For me, would I have planned things differently? Yes, I would. Are there tears? Yes. It's called grieving and it's okay. Is there hope in my disappointment? 1,000 times yes. My God knows what he's doing. Are things easy? No. No, they're not. And is Eddie continuing to go down? Yes, he is. He's withdrawing into himself at this current time and almost like shutting the world out. So there is disappointment, but God has been so real and he knows the way that we take. What makes you disappointed? Is it unrealistic expectations about people? You felt let down or disappointed? Promises maybe have been broken. You know, you'll only find hope in your disappointment when you change, when you decide to see the best in people, when you're prepared to overlook faults and not record them. Don't dwell in disappointment. Deal with it. So are you disappointed because of circumstances and your unreal expectations in them? You know, the two disciples on the Emmaus Road were totally disappointed at the way things had turned out. In Luke 24, it says, we had hoped that he, Jesus, who had just died on the cross, that he was the Messiah who had come to rescue Israel. This all happened 3 days ago, and there they are walking along with who they believe is a stranger, and yet it was Jesus himself, and they're sharing their disappointment with him. What have you hoped for that hasn't come, turned out as you want, that has come crashing to the ground, if you like? You see, their perspective on the situation was limited. They couldn't see God in what had happened. They didn't understand why Jesus had died. Where was God in all of this? Well, he was walking right alongside them. And our perspective on any situation that we're in is so limited. We can't see the big picture. And sometimes we can't see where God is either. Yet he's right alongside. If we want hope in disappointing circumstances, we need to change. We need to keep our eyes and ears open to see God in it and to hear his voice. The two on that road, when they invited Jesus into their home and he broke bread with them, it said suddenly their eyes were opened and they recognized him. And at that moment, he disappeared. And they said to each other, did not our hearts burn within us as he talked with us on the road and explained the scriptures to us? And suddenly, hope flooded their hearts. In their disappointment, they suddenly saw Jesus there. He was right alongside them. He was always there. Does failure make you disappointed? Have you let yourself down or maybe let God down? Peter wept over his failure to acknowledge Jesus when he was asked the question. But Jesus saw his potential rather than his problem. There's always hope with God. If you want to find hope in your disappointment, don't dwell on it. And certainly don't record it so that you can keep going back to it. The amazing hope that we have in Jesus is that he can make all things, disappointments, fears, failures, all things work together for the good of those that love the Lord, who are called according to his purpose for them. That's Romans 8 and 28. And the world may be able to counsel you on how to deal with your disappointment, but only God can make it work for your ultimate good. Now there's real hope. Amen.